Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to AMG's second quarter 2013 earnings call. Joining me on this call are Dr. Heinz Schimmelbusch, the Chairman of the Management Board and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Eric Jackson, the Chief Operating Officer, and Ms. Amy Ard, the Chief Financial Officer. AMG's second quarter 2013 earnings press release issued this morning is on AMG's website. Today's call will begin with a review of the second quarter 2013 highlights by Dr. Schimmelbusch. Ms. Ard will review AMG's financial results, and Mr. Jackson will discuss operations. At completion of Mr. Jackson's remarks, Dr. Schimmelbusch will comment on the market and strategy. We will then open the call to take your questions. Before I pass the call to Dr. Schimmelbusch, I would like to read a statement concerning forward-looking statements. This conference call could contain forward-looking statements about AMG Advanced Metallurgical Group N.V. Forward-looking statements are not historical facts but may include statements concerning AMG's plans, expectations, projections, objectives, targets, goals, strategies, future events, future revenues or performance, capital expenditures, financing needs, plans and intentions relating to acquisitions, AMG's competitive strengths and weaknesses, plans or goals relating to forecasted production, reserves, financial position, and future operations and development, AMG's business strategy, and the trends AMG anticipates in the industries and the political and legal environment in which it operates, and other information that is not historical information. When used in this conference call, the words expects, believes, anticipates, plans, may, will, should, and similar expressions and the negatives thereof are intended to identify forward-looking statements. By their very nature, forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties, both general and specific, and risks exist that predictions, forecasts, projections, and other forward-looking statements will not be achieved. These forward-looking statements speak only as of the date of this conference call. AMG expressly disclaims any obligation or undertaking to release publicly any updates or revisions to any forward-looking statement contained herein to reflect any change in AMG's expectations with regard thereto or any change in events, conditions, or circumstances on which any forward-looking statement is based. I will now pass the floor to Dr. Schimmelbusch, AMG's Chairman of the Management Board and Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you. Welcome to the second quarter 2013 AMG Advanced Metallurgical Group earnings conference call. During the second quarter 2013, AMG generated $291 million of revenue, $22 million of EBITDA, and $32 million of operating cash flow, while reducing net debt by $20.7 million. AMG also executed on a number of initiatives to reduce costs and improve cash flows during the second quarter, including the closing of the sale of its 45% owned aluminum alloy joint venture in China, YKB, to the joint venture partner Nanjing Yunhai Special Metals. This transaction closed in June and is a continuation of AMG's goal to simplify its operational structure and support its specific Asia-Pacific customers through AMG's wholly owned subsidiary, AMG Aluminum China. AMG Engineering implemented a significant cost reduction program to address the current market environment. Specifically, AMG Engineering reduced headcount by 16%, including a reduction of the number of management board members from 5 to 3. The unit has begun to merge internal operations and legal entities while streamlining the development process to reduce inefficiencies and improve reporting and communication. AMG Engineering also took a non-cash charge on its solar-related assets to adjust to the current solar market landscape. These steps, while painful, are a key component to reduce costs and position AMG Engineering for future growth. Another component of AMG's strategy to increase operating cash flow includes delaying the expansion of certain capital-intensive mining activities. Following a decline in antimony prices from a peak of $16,800 in the first quarter dollars per ton in the first quarter of 2011 to a current spot price of $9,700 per ton, and with limited visibility on future price developments, AMG has put on hold its antimony mine project, taking a $22 million charge to write down antimony mining assets. AMG has also scaled back the development of its mine activities in AMG Mining AG, the former Kartli Kotzmühl, resulting in a $13.3 million impairment charge. I would not like to pass the floor to Amy Art, AMG's Chief Financial Officer. Ms. Art will comment on the second quarter financial results. Amy?
Thank you, Heinz. AMG's revenue decreased 9% to $291.5 million in the second quarter of 2013 from $319.6 million in the second quarter of 2012. The net loss attributable to shareholders for the second quarter of 2013 was $42.2 million, or $1.53 per fully diluted share. It is important to note that in the second quarter, AMG recorded $55.1 million of non-recurring asset impairment and restructuring charges that impacted net loss. I will discuss these expenses in more detail after the segmental results. Q2 2013 adjusted EBITDA decreased 4% to $22.2 million. Cash flow from operating activities increased to $32 million, an improvement from $6.2 million in the second quarter of 2012. I will now discuss AMG's second quarter results for our three reporting segments, beginning with AMG Processing. Under the new reporting structure, AMG's corporate costs are allocated 45% to AMG Processing, 30% to AMG Engineering, and 25% to AMG Mining. AMG Processing's second quarter 2013 revenue decreased 14% to $144.6 million from $168.4 million in 2012. Prices and volumes decreased across most of AMG Processing's materials, all of which were affected by the weakening Asian market and the stagnant European market. The most significant revenue decreases occurred in AMG Superalloys, as chrome metal prices declined 27% year-over-year and volumes declined 25%. AMG Processing's gross profit was $17.7 million, or 12% of revenue, in the second quarter of 2013, compared to $24.7 million, or 15% of revenue, in 2012. As a general statement, in a period of substantially declining metal prices, AMG Processing's margins are significantly affected by the historical cost of inventory on hand. The decrease in gross profit was the result of the decline in revenues, slightly offset by product rationalization and cost improvements, particularly in aluminum master alloy. EBITDA decreased to $8 million, or 6% of revenue, in the second quarter 2013 from $12 million in 2012. This reduction was the result of a decline in gross profit, slightly offset by personnel cost reductions, that led to a 15% decrease in SG&A expenses. AMG Engineering had an order backlog of $145.2 million at June 30, 2013, a 10% increase compared to the order backlog of $132.2 million as of March 31, 2013. Order intake for the quarter was strong at $76.4 million, or a book-to-bill ratio of 1.15 times. AMG Engineering's second quarter 2013 revenue increased 2% to $66.6 million from $65.4 million in 2012. Revenue was most significantly impacted by a $7.5 million increase in revenue generated from turbine blade coating furnaces, which was entirely offset by the reduction of solar furnace sales to nearly zero. Other fluctuations in revenue included a 72% increase in nuclear furnace revenue and a 45% decrease in heat treatment furnace revenue. As a result of AMG Engineering's balanced portfolio, no individual furnace type accounted for more than 20% of total revenue. AMG Engineering's gross profit was $18.2 million, or 27% of revenue, in the second quarter 2013, compared to $14.9 million, or 23% of revenue, in 2012. Improved profitability on certain large projects was the primary driver for the increase in gross profit. EBITDA increased to $8.4 million, or 13% of revenue, in the second quarter 2013, from $4.2 million in 2012. The increase in gross profit combined with an 8% decrease in SG&A expenses resulted in the 102% increase in EBITDA. AMG Mining's second quarter 2013 revenue decreased 6% to $80.3 million from $85.8 million in 2012. While volumes were slightly better than the prior year, significant declines in end market pricing resulted in revenue decreases of 10% silicon metal, and 4% for antimony. The price declines were partially offset by a 3% increase in revenue from graphite, a result of improved product mix when compared to 2012. AMG Mining gross profit was $12.7 million, or 16% of revenue, in the second quarter 2013, compared to $14.3 million, or 17% of revenue, in 2012. The decrease in gross profit was the result of lower average market prices, particularly for silicon metal. EBITDA decreased to $5.7 million, or 7% of revenue, in the second quarter 2013, from $7.1 million in 2012. A 6% decline in SG&A expenses was not enough to offset the decrease in gross profit. I will now comment on the consolidated financial statements, beginning with SG&A. Consolidated SG&A decreased 10% to $34 million in the second quarter of 2013, compared to $37.8 million in 2012. The decrease in SG&A expense was due to a $2.4 million decrease in total personnel costs. AMG's operating loss was $40.2 million in the second quarter of 2013, compared to a $7.9 million operating profit in 2012. Included in operating profit or loss are certain non-recurring items which are not included in EBITDA. AMG incurred $55.1 million of non-recurring items and asset impairments in Q2 2013. Restructuring expense of $5.4 million included $3.9 million for AMG Engineering right-sizing its workforce and $1.4 million for corporate restructuring. $49.7 million in asset impairment charges related to engineering and mining assets. Consistent with its efforts to right-size the business, and as a response to the continued low levels of solar capital goods spending, $14.2 million in solar assets were impaired by AMG Engineering during the quarter. Given the global decline in metal price levels and the concerns over continued weakness in China and Europe, AMG decided to delay capital spending for its new mine development project. This decision led to required impairment calculations. As a result, AMG Mining took a $22.1 million non-cash charge to write down antimony mining assets and a $13.3 million pre-tax charge to write down certain assets at AMG Mining AG. Net finance costs for the second quarter 2013 were $6.1 million, up slightly from $5.9 million in 2012. In the second quarter 2013, AMG recorded a $1.8 million income tax benefit. The benefit was the result of the net loss for the period, which was caused by the asset impairment and restructuring expenses. A portion of these expenses, however, related to entities for which a tax benefit cannot be booked, thus limiting the income tax benefit book. Capital expenditures were $7.1 million during the second quarter 2013, 40% less than 2012. Maintenance capital was $4.1 million during the quarter, and other capital projects included additional investment in the ferrovanadium spent catalyst recycling facility and initial spending for a silicon metal furnace upgrade. AMG had a net debt position of $180 million as of June 30, 2013. The $14.2 million decrease in net debt from December 31, 2012 is consistent with AMG's stated goal to reduce net debt. The significant components of the debt reduction effort included an $11.4 million decrease in working capital and a reduction in capital spending consistent with our clearly stated goals. Year-to-date CapEx of $16.2 million is down 31% from 2012, and AMG had 53 days sales and working capital as of June 2013, down from 63 days at December 2012. The company's debt-to-total capitalization ratio was 0.69 times, and the net debt to last 12 months EBITDA was 2.15 times as of June 30th, and is moving towards AMG's objective of less than 2 times. Including the $112.2 million of cash, AMG had $172.7 million of total liquidity as of June 30th. Despite this reduction in net debt, AMG was not in compliance with the tangible net worth covenant of its revolving credit facility as of June 30th. This covenant was adversely affected by the asset impairment charges taken in the quarter. The impact of this breach is reflected in the balance sheet, as all outstanding debt under this credit facility is now being shown as current rather than its normal presentation as non-current to reflect its 2016 maturity date. AMG has received a waiver for this breach for Q2, and we expect to amend the debt agreement to ensure compliance in future quarters. That concludes my remarks on the financial statements. I would now like to pass the floor to Eric Jackson, AMG's Chief Operating Officer.
Thank you, Amy. Lower prices and demand for the majority of our key products and services impacted our operations during the quarter. Despite this, our focus on cost reduction, productivity improvements, and working capital management is showing positive results in operating cash flow. Second quarter SG&A was 10% below Q2 2012 and lower than the prior period for all divisions, and we are on track to reach or exceed our 2013 targets. Net working capital decreased by $24.7 million during the quarter, and working capital days were reduced to 53 from 65 days in the Q2 2012. AMG made significant progress in managing accounts receivable and payables. However, inventory levels, although lower than Q2 2012, were above target levels during the quarter, result of weak demand and a long supply chain in a number of specific products. We will improve this in the coming quarters. In AMG processing, sharp declines in prices and volume outpaced our ability to reduce costs during the quarter. We did, however, make progress on cost reduction and margin improvements in a number of areas. For example, at AMG Aluminum, we increased gross margins by 19% through production rationalization and a focus on higher margin products. In AMG Engineering, order intake was consistent with our expectations, and that, combined with improved procurement and project costing discipline, drove an increase in gross margins to 27% from 23% in Q2 2012. AMG Engineering reduced its workforce by 16%, primarily the result of the partial closure of the Berlin facility. These actions are significant steps towards our goal to right-size the business. AMG Mining is adapting to current market conditions. AMG Minerals' gross margins increased 4% compared to Q2 2012 as we stabilized production levels and began in late June to deliver on our long-term sales contract. AMG Antimony, despite the 24% decline in antimony prices, increased gross margins, the result of product production optimization and a focus on downstream higher value-added products. AMG Mining is continuing the exploration and geological development of its antimony mines and graphite mines, but it is delaying investment activities in response to the low price environment. This is consistent with our focus on operating cash flow. We have made progress on our 2013 operational goals to reduce costs, improve productivity, or efficiently manage working capital and generate strong operating cash flow. This continues to be our primary focus going forward. I would now like to pass the floor to Dr. Schimmelbusch, AMG Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Eric. As just discussed, AMG is making progress in reducing cost and positioning AMG for strong operating cash flows for the balance of 2013. In regard to the current market situation, AMG was impacted by significant decreases in many metal prices and volumes, and this trend has continued into the third quarter. AMG's processing experienced market price declines in all materials, with the most significant declines in chrome metal, 27%, and ferrovanadium of 13% compared to prior year. Prices and volumes remain under pressure and are not expected to change in the near term. The ramp up in production from the expansion program at AMG Vanadium is on track, but the ramp up resulted in a 12% decrease in volumes compared to 2012. AMG Aluminum adjusted to the current market environment by rationalizing production and reducing operating costs, resulting in a 19% increase in aluminum master alloy cost margins on a 5% decrease in revenue. Despite these improvements, the market headwinds will make it difficult for AMG processing to achieve an EBITDA level consistent with the prior year. AMG's engineering order intake rebounded from the first quarter, and we expect that full year 2013 order intake will be consistent with prior year. AMG's engineering diversified vacuum technology offering should enable it to weather the current fluctuations in global industrial cycles. AMG's heat treatment service facilities in North America continue to operate near capacity to meet the need for increased fuel efficiency in automobiles. This strength has been somewhat offset by sluggish market conditions in Europe. We expect engineering EBITDA to be consistent with 2012 levels. We anticipate an increase in cash flows due to operational improvements being implemented. In AMG Mining, we began deliveries on our long-term contract for conflict-free tantalum in the second quarter. This contract secures tantalum sales for the medium term on a price level exceeding historical levels and enables AMG to focus on operational improvements. As mentioned earlier, we are delaying spending on the antimony mine development as raw material availability has improved and prices have declined. In this market, we have seen other participants act rationally and reduce supply to meet the lower demand levels, which are expected to continue for the near term. Natural graphite volumes have improved slightly over 2012, and we expect demand to continue to be above 2012 levels and margins to improve based upon cost reduction programs. In conclusion, overall, the specialty metal markets continue to struggle due to the declining growth of the Asian market and continued European economic weaknesses. These markets are not expected to improve significantly in the near term and will result in more challenging second half in 2013. AMG is rationalizing production and implementing cost reduction programs to address this reality. In this challenging market environment, AMG believes that we continue to generate positive cash flows, consistent EBITDA, and further reduce debt in 2013. Operator, we would now like to take questions and answers.
Yes, of course. If any of the participants would like to ask a question, you may now press the star followed by the one on your telephone. And if you wish to cancel the request, please press the star followed by the two. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received, and there will be a short pause whilst participants register for a question. Once again, if any of the participants would like to ask a question, you may now press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone, and if you wish to cancel the request, please press the star followed by the 2. Thank you. And the first question comes from Dennis Lepidatu. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have a few questions regarding the strategy going forward. Basically, I was wondering if you see any changes on the long-term trends that you were counting on when you built the portfolio, specialty materials, and if you have anything in mind to try to stabilize the portfolio and maybe add something which is less cyclical. The second question would be if there are any SG&A target in terms of reduction of SG&A costs. Is there a clear step up from the 5% which was announced before? Then going back to the mining activities, was the write-down the only option to deal with the situation? Did you also check other options, maybe selling the mine? Or do you think you will be able to revisit this mine later on, and what would be the antimony price at which you would revisit the mining plans? And lastly, on the covenant side, when do you expect to announce the amendment of the debt agreement, and if there are any risks that will actually not go in your favor this year?
Okay, so that's a host of questions.
Sorry.
It's technical material. I believe that the uptrend, the long-term uptrend in critical material demand will stay. Tantalum, where we have sold out over many years. And when you analyze critical criticality, then you have to mine 0.02% metal content, or then you have to mine tantalum a few hundred tons and move 6 million tons of material in order to do so, then you get really the criticality demonstrated, or then this criticality becomes visible. There is a long-term difficulty in supplies, and there is a long-term technology trend pushing demand. That's interrupted, of course, in a severe situation, in a severe recession like this right now, but that has nothing to do with the trend. We firmly believe that. So that does not exclude that we might in future adjust our portfolio in certain ways if we believe that we have to focus more on particular materials where this trend is more secure. That's the first question. G&A targets are the same, 5% or exceeding 5%. Third question. We have extensive exploration and mineralogical studies ongoing to determine what the optimal way for this particular ore would be to design a flow sheet, a metallurgical flow sheet, and it's very difficult for me to answer specific questions prior to that, but prior to the outcome of, especially the mineralogical studies here. Alternatives, it is always, if you consider alternatives, it's always restricted when the prices are in steep decline. When prices are in steep decline, the idea to sell something is not a good idea.
Now I'll answer the fourth question on the amendment. So we will definitely have an amendment announcement before the end of Q3. I don't expect there to be any issues with the bank. They just needed more time in order to process the results and the impairment charges and then look at our future forecast. So I think by the end of Q3 we'll have a solution to this issue and we'll move forward. As I mentioned, with leverage going down, it makes the banks will be more comfortable with the debt in general.
Okay, it's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. The first question came from Denise from the company Kempen. If anybody else would like to ask a question, you may now press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. And if you wish to cancel the request, please press the star followed by the 2. The last question currently comes from Philip De Power from ING. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. I have actually two questions. The first question is on the working capital. It was quite an improvement in the first half of the year. And I assume that part of the improvement was due to the prepayment related to the tantalum contract. And I wondered if you could quantify to which this contributed to the working capital. As a follow-up to that, I wonder if you could give us any guidance where we should expect working capital at the end of the year as a percentage of sales or in days. And finally, the second question is on the CapEx. It was roughly 16.2 million in the first half of the year. I was wondering what amount are we looking at for the second half of the year and where is the CapEx going to be spent on? These are the questions.
Well, the operating cash flow, which was significant in the second quarter, was positively impacted by certain prepayments, but we are not we are not detailing what those repayments are for thresholds of competitive pricing. It was a significant cash flow improvement even without those repayments. So this company is focused on cash flow right now. And we are very pleased that we in fact make continuing successful moves in this direction. We said that we have to work on inventory levels, and we believe that there is room for improvement in our working capital, and you can be sure, as one can be sure in this world, that the working capital at the end of this year is significantly below the level of last year, and that also refers to capital expenditure. As the number one target is to reduce debt and improve cash flow.
So our target for CapEx remains the same for the full year. That's $35 million. That remains our target. We'd like to come in lower than that, but that still remains the internal target that we're talking about. And we do expect working capital levels to decline further from where they are now, between now and the end of the year.
And do you have a quantified target in mind in terms of that working capital? What kind of as a percentage of sales you would be looking at as a target?
It's a very intelligent question, because when you multiply, then you have to start it in the math. So in a way, you can't escape this math. But of course, we have targets completely, but I said significant reduction. Now you can make a philosophy what a significant reduction is. But it is certainly more than 10%. It's more than 10. It's significant more than 10%.
That is clear. Thank you very much.
Blake, thank everyone for joining us on the Q2 earnings call, and we look forward to speaking with you on November 8th for the Q3 earnings release and earnings call. Thank you all.